Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 24th day of March, 2021. And I am absolutely thrilled to have back on the program someone who I have thoroughly enjoyed meeting and interviewing in the past. Most of my listeners will recall his name as being one of two hosts of the Just Thinking podcast that he co-hosts with Daryl Bernard Harrison. And he is also the newly appointed executive director of operations at G3 Ministries. And today we are going to be addressing the very controversial theme, how woke is the Southern Baptist Convention? How a denomination which was purged of liberalism returned to poison itself from the very same well. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Virgil Walker.
Well, it is my honor to be with you, Chris, and happy to be here with you. Half of the dynamic duo. I don't mind saying that. half of the dynamic duo. It's always fun doing these kinds of interviews with my co-host Daryl Harrison of Just Thinking. But I'm having to figure out with this new role, this new title, as executive director of operations for G3 Ministries, how to kind of navigate some spaces and places on my own. So this is one of those, and so I'm honored to do a test run here of that with you. So glad to be with you.
Great. Well, why don't you, for those few listeners, I'm sure, listening to this program who are unfamiliar with Just Thinking, I'm sure the vast majority of my listeners are very familiar with it, but you never know how many are listening who are even new to the Christian faith, as I do have on occasion. They email me, those who are new Christians, and also those who are not Christians at all. We have people from all kinds of religions and atheists and so on who listen. Tell our listeners about the Just Thinking podcast.
Yeah, the Just Thinking podcast is the brainchild actually of one Dwayne Atkinson. Dwayne Atkinson is the executive producer for Just Thinking. He's over the Bar Network, a network of Christian podcasts and the like. And the Just Thinking for myself is the blog of Daryl Harrison. Daryl has been writing for 8 years or more, probably closer to a decade, on his own about issues relating to culture, politics, economics, and the like. And all of those things seen through the lens of a biblical worldview. So Daryl and I, about 3 years ago, got together and through a chance meeting through our executive producer, Dwayne. And Dwayne had called me after an interview and said, listen, I think this guy and you have a lot in common, and I know you've got some radio experience. He's a writer. Maybe you guys could get together and make things work. And that long story short, after some cajoling on the part of myself and Dwayne, because Daryl just was not really thinking that he had the chops for doing speaking. He really has a writing gift. And sure enough, as we began to work together, that ability to speak on the fly and to really articulate issues of the culture with the same dynamic kind of force that he has in writing actually began to play itself out in our podcast. Since that time, through a number of different issues as we've looked at culture. We have had the great benefit of speaking with crystal clarity from a biblical worldview about issues of race, issues of in the culture, and we've kind of begun to be seen as a go-to for some of those issues, particularly as things kind of heated up in the summer of 2020 with the George Floyd, the Breonna Taylor, and all those other incidents. With CRT on the horizon as well, we continue to be a resource for a lot of folks. And so Just Thinking, the Just Thinking podcast, you can find it at justthinking.me. Justthinking.me, you can download, or anywhere you download your Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast information from, you can get that. I'll say this lastly, two things. One is that it is a long-form podcast. So if you're expecting to kind of listen to something in 20 minutes and be done, this is not that. We really spend a great deal of time unpacking scripture, explaining with clear definitions the issues of culture. So it is it's known as a long-form podcast. So we can go 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and the latest episode we just did on CRT went 3.5 hours.
Wow.
It is a lengthy, long-form podcast. We unpack all of the information. We want it to be, each episode to be a standalone episode on a particular subject. So if you wanted to really understand the nature and depth of something like critical race theory, you have it all there in one podcast episode. Now, what most people do with that, Chris, is they download it and then listen to it over the course of a week as time allows, taking notes and making their, you know, and making their assessments of what we've shared. But yeah, that's the Just Thinking podcast. It's been around 3 years. It's been known as a number one podcast that during certain weeks, number one Christian podcast in the country. Every time we drop an episode, we're at least in the top 10 of Christian podcasts throughout the country.
Well, I happen to know Dwayne very well personally and have interviewed him, and I have received from Dwayne Atkinson the honorary title of the OG of Christian broadcasting. And I have to be honest, I had to ask someone very familiar with hip-hop culture what that meant.
That's good. You know what? He's spot on with that. If you think about it, you've been around for quite some time kind of doing this thing. And I just want to say to your listeners, I'll say to you and to your listeners, listen, man, your patience and kindness with us as, you know, as those who are brand new in the space, the platform that you provide us, the kindness that you show us. I know it's been, at one point, it was almost a year that you and I were trying to get together to land a particular interview. So I really appreciate your patience and kindness toward me.
And let me give our friend Dwayne a further plug by giving our listeners his website, thebarpodcast.com. Uh-huh. Thebarpodcast.com. And that has nothing to do with taverns, as much as many in our Reformed audience seem to love that subject.
Right.
And it does not stand for, as many might erroneously jump to the conclusion, since Dwayne is a black brother, it does not stand for black and reformed. It stands for biblical and reformed.
Yep.
And that's thebarpodcast.com. And by the way, I thought I'd throw in there, even though it makes me feel very awkward doing so, I hate describing people according to the melanin content of their skin.
Sure.
But my guest, Virgil Walker, is a black brother in Christ, and I mention that because there are sensitive issues we are discussing that some people wrongly jump to the conclusion, I believe, that it is wrong and even racist for non-black individuals to even address these issues, especially on their own. And of course, even when somebody who is a biblically faithful black Christian addresses them, they are still being anti-black racist themselves, even though they are black. So you can never really win with the advocates of the woke movement.
But, absolutely.
But this subject that we are addressing, I am hoping that I don't lose friendships over it, because I have many friends in the Southern Baptist Convention who have even been guests on this program. But I have to say clearly that most of my closest friends and favorite guests who are still pastors or leaders in some fashion in the Southern Baptist Convention are the first to admit and boldly oppose publicly the truths that we are addressing today.
Absolutely.
So let me repeat the theme. It's how woke is the Southern Baptist Convention, how a denomination which was purged of liberalism returned to poison itself from the very same well. And before we go into that theme, let us begin by addressing G3 Ministries and your new post as Executive Director of Operations and the upcoming conference this fall, G3 Conference 2021.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, as you can imagine. G3 for me has been something that, since 2017, my first actual attendance in person is something that I'd always look forward to. It's the largest conference of its kind. It had more speakers from different areas of Reformed biblical theology in one place than any other. One of the things that I so enjoyed is the cross section of speakers from all over who I respected were at one place. I couldn't think of one place where you can go and find this many of thought leaders, pastors, preachers, teachers, and the like. And so I think it not only does it provide that kind of an experience from a theological standpoint, so it scratches that itch. The other piece of it is, and I know you've experienced this as well, having been there, is the family atmosphere that is G3. Unlike other conferences where you go and you're thinking, I've got to be a pastor to be there, or I've got to be, at least an associate pastor of some type, or maybe an elder, this is an experience for the entire family. And so what you often see in the context of a G3 are families. Some folks will schedule their family vacation around this time and really experience the full breadth and depth of G3. And so I love being there. Can't wait to be a part of it. This September 30th through October 2nd, we will address the issue of the doctrine of Christology. We'll talk about Christology. We'll talk about the nature of Christ, the office of Christ. We'll talk about every aspect related to Christology possible. And in a culture that is in great need of a Savior and is looking for answers from every different direction rather than Christ Himself and the message of the gospel, I think this is an incredibly important time for the G3 conference to have Christology as its focus.
And let me list some of the speakers, and I will only do this once, because if I did it more than once, we would run out of time and have no time for an interview.
There are so many
speakers, but Stephen Lawson, Vody Baucom, Paul Washer, John MacArthur, Josh Bice, who is the founder of the G3 conference, Anthony Mathenia, who is Paul Washer's pastor, one of my favorite preachers on the planet Earth, Hensworth Jonas. If you do not know Hensworth Jonas, you've never heard him, you've got to take a plane, train, or automobile to anywhere he is preaching, because he is extraordinary. Yeah. I had the privilege of hearing him not only preach at the church where I am a member, Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, but also at Banner of Truth conferences, and he is just phenomenal. Mike Riccardi, who's been a guest on this program. Justin Peters, who's been a guest many times on this program. Joel Beakey, who's also been a guest many times on this program. Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You, who has actually been on my program more than any other guest. In fact, let me take this time to have you mark on your calendars. Phil Johnson will be my guest again on Tuesday, April 6th. And Nathan Busenitz, for the very first time, will be on the program on Thursday, April 1st. And that has nothing to do with Nathan being a fool, being April Fool's Day. But I have been trying to interview Nathan for about 3 years, at least, on his book, Long Before Luther, and that will be our discussion. My friend for nearly three decades, James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is speaking, and he was my very first interview on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio ever, not only the first time we went on the air in 2005, but the first time we aired when I returned from a hiatus in 2015 after relocating to Pennsylvania. He was my first guest, and he's been a guest many times. And Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who I have to say is my very favorite preacher on the planet Earth. In fact, I was in the church when Dr. Mbewe was preaching for the very first time in the United States. It was the church where I was a member, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, that had invited Dr. Mbewe in 1995 to preach there for a three-day conference, and I was there. And we struck up a friendship then and have been in regular contact ever since. And he is returning to the program for an interview and also is one of the speakers at the G3 conference and the aforementioned Daryl Bernard Harrison, just to name some of the speakers. So I hope that as many of our listeners as possible will try to attend this. And believe me, it is never the same when you watch a recording, even the live streaming of an event. It's never the same as being there personally. I have such extraordinary memories from the three times that I have been present at the G3 conferences. This will be my fourth one coming up. And manning an exhibitor's booth especially has not only brought many new listeners to my audience, but also I have met for the first time many regular listeners, which has been such an encouragement. It's always so encouraging to hear people that I don't even know yell out, "Chris Arnson, Iron Sharpens Iron," when I'm walking through the crowd or whatever. But now it is time for the unpleasant task to discuss how woke is the Southern Baptist Convention. And if you could, first of all, this may seem at this point in time like a silly question, but define what it means to be woke to begin with.
Well, that's a kind of an urban colloquialism. It's the idea of someone having been awakened to a particular issue, topic, subject. And in this instance, as it relates to the social injustice of the culture, being woke is the idea that one has now been awakened to the fact that they are an oppressed group, and that there's some things that that they need to begin fighting for and believing in, and ways by which they need to view the world. They now view the world differently rather than the ways that have historically been afforded from a Judeo-Christian worldview. That now the world needs to be seen through the lens of wokeness, through the lens of victimhood, through the lens of being an oppressed group. And so, again, urban colloquialism, instead of saying awakened to an issue, they've now been made woke. And so that's the thought process behind the vernacular woke.
Now, why is it that most conservative Bible-believing Christians, perhaps even especially from Reformed backgrounds, are very opposed to this ideology and movement? And it's interesting that although I just said most conservative Bible-believing Christians are opposed to it, I think, to my recollection, I can't even think of something similar where I believe it's the first time in history where something that has become the battle cry of the far left, not only politically, but socially, morally, and so on, where the far left has captivated a significant percentage of conservative, Bible-believing individuals, congregations, and denominations to follow in their footsteps in this this bizarre and I think very dangerous ideology. So what is it about being woke and all that comes underneath that umbrella that is so disturbing to Bible-believing Christians, at least many of them?
Well, You know, that's a great question in the way that you phrased it, and I agree that many who have fought the battles for biblical inerrancy from decades gone by. I mean, I was just recently at the National Ligonier Conference, and I'm reminded of R.C. Sproul's and his battle for truth and for biblical inerrancy, and John MacArthur, who was a part of that battle for inerrancy. We have within Southern Baptist circles a conservative resurgence that was a battle for inerrancy. And so what you have now that's new on the horizon with woke-ism, if you will, with the idea of being woke and seeing things through a different lens, is that we've abandoned, many have abandoned, a biblical worldview or even a Judeo-Christian worldview for a secular worldview. Those who have fought the battle for inerrancy recognize this. And so they rightly so are saying, are the ones expressing the warning signs. Hey, this is an issue not only of inerrancy, but it's an issue of sufficiency. Is Scripture sufficient to deal with the issues of race, of ethnicity, of ethnic hatred, of injustice, with calls for justice? Is the Bible sufficient? And those of us who believe that the Bible is indeed sufficient, recognize that what's happening with wokeism, what's happening with the social justice movement, is an absolute attack on biblical sufficiency. And so your question was, you know, why are many conservative evangelicals opposing this? I think it's because they rightly see and have discerned that this battle is not something that is new, but rather it's an old battle, perhaps couched in new language, but it's the same old battle. It's a question of, does the Bible mean what the Bible means? Does the Bible say what it says? And ultimately, at the end of the day, do we believe it? And is it sufficient to deal with the issues of our day? So I think that's why many oppose it. I would have approached it from the other angle, because I really believe what's true is that, unfortunately, far too many evangelicals, even those who would call themselves conservative and more importantly reformed, have begun to abandon scriptural sufficiency and begun to embrace the ideas of woke culture and have begun to embrace the ideas of social justice. And I think for them, the ideas that what they began to see happening in the culture caused them to capitulate. In other words, they saw the George Floyd incident, which was the lightning rod. But even prior to that, early 2018, we began to see movements in this direction with organizations like Black Lives Matter, and what they were dealing with the Trayvon Martin issue, with the Michael Brown issue, and what they were doing in culture began to have an effect even in so-called reformed Christian circles. And so you're beginning to see this divide, a massive divide, among those who are evangelical, those who are believers, those who hold to even reformed theology. But you're especially seeing it creep its head, and I know the topic of our discussion in particular, you're beginning to see it creep into areas of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is incredibly disturbing.
Yes, and to name a couple of specific things that raises the ire of those who are biblically faithful Christians is that this movement, ironically, is racist. It is really has as its foundation the fact that we should treat people and view them differently according to the color of their skin and not the content of their character, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was famous for saying. And although I have some very serious problems with the theology of Dr. King, that was a very biblical ideology that he embraced, because it's clear in the scriptures that we are not to view anyone as inferior to ourselves, not only judging them by the color of their skin, but their ethnic origin, even their socioeconomic status. We are not to give people of a higher income preference in the church. We could go on and on and on about how we are never to use our eyes and the way people appear as a litmus test on how they should be treated and so on. And yet this movement is trying to bring this into vogue, back into vogue, when it was the very worst element of this country. Those who were truly racist and bigots, those who were amongst the founders of the Klan and the promoters of the Jim Crow laws and so on, that's what they championed, that indeed we must treat people differently according to how they look. Isn't this absolutely insane?
Absolutely, it's insane, and it's exactly what you stated. It's the opposite of what King taught. Now, again, for all the concern that we have about King's theology, what King got right, what the civil rights movement got right, was that their line of argumentation was on the basis of the Imago Dei. Their arguments as to the treatment that they should have and experience in the culture, in American culture, was that we should be treated equally. Martin Luther King, in his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, echoed the words from the Constitution, right? At the Declaration of Independence, talking about that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the idea that he was advancing was the idea of equality. He was advancing the idea of equality on the basis of Genesis 1:27, that God created us in His image and likeness. But what we're seeing now, the page that's turning, is that what the social justician is now advancing in our current culture and climate is the idea of equity. What they are interested in now are equity of outcomes, and their thought process is that equity should be adjudicated on the basis of ethnicity.
In fact, could you pick right up when we return from our first break on that and give us a contrast between equity and equality, because there is a difference.
Absolutely.
And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in disagreement with your own pastor or elders or denomination over this issue or any issue that we bring up under the umbrella of the woke movement. Or perhaps you're a pastor, you disagree with your own elders and your own denomination, and you don't want to identify yourself at this point. I understand that, and there are other reasons why someone might want to remain anonymous, because it involves a personal and private matter. But other than that, if it's a general question on history, a general question on theology and doctrine and practice, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Holland 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Virgil Walker of the Just Thinking podcast. He is also the executive director of operations at G3 Ministries. And you can find out more about G3 Ministries at g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And the G3 Ministries also has a new website that you can investigate as well, and that's g3min.org, g3min.org. And we are addressing today a very controversial theme: how woke is the Southern Baptist Convention? How a denomination which was purged of liberalism returned to poison itself from the very same well. Our email address, if you have questions of your own, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen at gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. And Virgil, right before the break, you were going to distinguish between equity and equality, the former of which is a demand of those who are the leaders and movers and shakers of what is known as the woke movement, the social justice warrior movement, and on and on we could go with the phraseology that is used to describe this.
Yeah. Yeah, I only want to mention one thing that you had mentioned earlier at the top with regard to the G3 conference, and that is, I know many of your listeners will be familiar with Rody Bauckham and his health-related concerns and the like, and so we continue to pray for him. with the hope and belief that he'll return to great, to full health and strength. And so, as of right now, we're kind of on pause with regard to his participation,
right,
in the G3 conference. But other than that, all the speakers that you mentioned will definitely be a part of that, and as well John MacArthur as well. So we're really excited about that.
Yes, in fact, I had the privilege of just seeing very recently Vody Baucom speak at a conference in Pennsylvania. And at that time, he seemed like he was at the top of his health. Gave me a bear hug that I think broke a couple of ribs. And so it was a shock, actually, that he developed these serious health problems. But I know that he has actually had symptoms of various kinds arise since his move to the Zambia. We must pray for him, as you said.
Absolutely. But to continue the thought about, but the difference between equality and equity, right now in the culture, what you're hearing, unlike Dr. King's movement, is you're hearing a cry for equity. It's not about equality. When the civil rights movement of the 60s pushed forward, what you saw were men in these sandwich boards, and on the sandwich board that they would wear as they walked the street, they'd put this over their head, and they'd walk the streets there. The board would say on the front and on the back, "I am a man." That was the rally cry, the idea of being a man treated equally, given equal opportunity to do well. But what's now being advocated with those who are promoting Black Lives Matter and its ideology is they're promoting equity. And so what that requires, to the point you made earlier, Chris, was that's a demand, and that demand requires that I take from someone else in order to have equitable footing, in order to have equity in hand. And so if someone has more than me, either I and or government should take from them in order to give to me so that I can have an equitable outcome. And so what we're looking at now is language is being used, is being deconstructed for the purpose of reframing society and culture in the very image that those who hold to woke ideology stand. So,
now there are several sins that seem to be prevalent in this whole movement. You have the violation or the disobeying of God's command not to covet thy neighbor's goods. And in fact, when these things are successfully mandated, thou shalt not steal is one of the violations of the commandment. I would even say vengeance seems to be a primary motivation. You have people who want to take vengeance on the white race, if you will, even when those who are having the vengeance of the left brought upon them have nothing to do personally with the circumstances that anyone in this country or this world finds themselves in. You have, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. My family immigrated on my mother's side to the United States from Poland in the early 1900s. And on my father's side, they immigrated from Norway in the late 1800s. To Brooklyn, New York. None of my ancestors owned slaves. The only possible slave owners that could have existed in my family were Vikings in my father's side, who, if they had slaves, they would have been white. So the fact that I should be held responsible, and anyone in the 21st century should be held responsible because of the acts of people in the past, just because of our skin color, is really not only insane, but it is wicked, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, first you're dealing with the sin of partiality. It's the idea that if I have a certain melanin count, I am always in a either victimized status or I and my ancestors have been oppressed. And so what this has done, and Daryl and I talk about this often on the Just Thinking podcast, for you to subscribe to social justice, for you to subscribe to woke culture, you have to have what it creates, and this is why it's problematic within evangelical circles and predominantly within the SBC, any denomination for that matter. What it sets up in this idea of oppressed and oppressor groups are two different kinds of people. So now what you have, rather than all of us being equal, creating the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1:27, regardless of the fact that God, through one man, Adam, makes all of mankind, makes all of the nations, right, all of the ethnos, Acts 17:26. Rather than that, what we now have is a different anthropology, an unbiblical anthropology of the haves and the have-nots, the oppressed and the oppressor. And so what wokeism creates, what social justice creates, is it creates a different anthropology. It creates a different idea of man. It creates a different hamartiology, a different idea of sin. Now the greatest sin is racism. And while Christ may have paid the penalty, may have paid the price to cover our sin, so that those who repent and have faith in Christ can experience eternal life, the one sin that he was deficient in really covering the ground for is the sin of racism. It is the highest sin that can be known in woke culture. And so as a result, not only did Christ pay for those sins, but there are sins that you now, as a white male, have got to adjudicate for, have got to repay. And the way that you repay those are by involving yourself in anti-racist works. And so it is a different gospel. It requires a different soteriology, a different idea around salvation. Salvation is no longer through Christ alone. Salvation is through Christ alone and anti-racist works. And so this is a different gospel. And that's why it's so detrimental to any denomination, and particularly the SBC.
Yes, and we are talking about even the advocacy by those who are movers and shakers in the woke movement of segregation, of mimicking the horrific ideology of the Nation of Islam. And a lot of people might be surprised by this. I was surprised that, perhaps I shouldn't have been surprised, but Spike Lee's movie about Malcolm X, which actually, in my opinion, was an excellent movie. he left out something very crucial, that the Elijah Muhammad had actually invited on two occasions George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party, to speak at his rallies in Madison Square Garden because they agreed on segregation.
Right.
Even though George Lincoln Rockwell hated black people and used the N-word when he was not in their company at the Madison Square Garden anyway, they saw him as an ally of sorts anyway. And in fact, you have Louis Farrakhan, who has praised Hitler and so on. So it is just utterly amazing that they are advocating that blacks flee white churches and join all black churches and so on and so on. If you could just pick up where I left off there.
Absolutely. Well, you've got everything from in the active outside culture. In other words, on college campuses around the country, there are black organizations advocating for safe spaces for blacks. They want all black dormitories. They want all black areas where they can congregate. If there's an area where there's more than one ethnicity, they want it cleared from that ethnicity. There are entire days by which what college students are advocating for is they're telling their teachers and other whites that they're not allowed in certain areas for teaching. And so this is the kind of thing that's happening in the culture. It's a backwards view of what we talked about, which was King's movement. And now fast forward that into evangelical circles. What you're seeing in those cases and spaces are something incredibly similar. But what they're doing is they're encouraging people to leave. This was a New York Times article that looked at the fact that there's this exodus of blacks who are leaving white evangelical churches. And again, a lot of this began around the time that Trump was inaugurated in the office. But what's happening now is there's this movement that they're calling Leaving Loud. They not only want to leave, now they want to leave loud. In other words, they want to make it very clear why they're leaving, that they're leaving, and that what needs to happen is change needs to take place before they'll return. What these people have in their head is a mixed up ecclesiology. They really do believe that that church is about them rather than the church being about being the bride of Christ.
Now, as our theme title has indicated, the Southern Baptist Convention at one time was, I don't know if dominated would be a fair description, but it was very highly populated and influenced by the left. And God, in His grace, used men such as L. Mohler and others to purge that denomination from leftism. How on earth did they go from this point of finally being able to, as it were, breathe a sigh of relief that they had, the Southern Baptist Convention had returned to its biblical roots? Of course, only a minority returned to its biblical roots of Calvinism, but that's for another day and another interview. There are many vehement anti-Calvinists that still remain in leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention, but at the very least, there was a return to biblical orthodoxy. How on earth did this wokeism, of all things, become infiltrated into the Southern Baptist Convention and begin to poison it again?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I don't think it's, again, this is nothing new. None of the things that we're seeing are new. It would be Paul that would tell the Ephesian elders as he left that as soon as I depart, right, there are going to be ravenous wolves. Acts 19, there'll be ravenous wolves who come and desire to devour the sheep. And so that's what was, that's exactly what took place. I think the conservative resurgence moved forward. We believed that we had won and that the battle was over. And so we decided, you know what, we're good, we're safe. It's all good. No more battle to fight. Now we can enjoy just kind of a resting on our laurels. And what began to happen, and what we see happening in SBC circles, was an adaptation, if you will, to pragmatism, rather than really understanding inerrancy to the degree that we begin to embrace biblical sufficiency in every area, from an area of worship to how we disciple. To how we engage in church discipline, every facet that the Bible explains for us, the regulative principle of worship, it explains how we should interact as a church body with God. And rather than appealing to that, what we decided was that some of the fastest growing churches were appealing to relevance.
In fact, could you pick up right where you left off on relevance, because we have to go to our midway break now.
Absolutely.
And if anybody wants to join us again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Remember, folks, this is the midway break, which is a bit longer than the other breaks in the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them the localizing of this show and all their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida. So they have to air their own public service announcements and other local things while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely and write down as much of the information as you can provided by as many of our advertisers as you can so that they will be happy and want to continue to sponsor the show, because we absolutely positively depend upon the finances that come through our advertisers to exist. So please respond to them, even if it just means thanking them for sponsoring the show. And also, send in a question to Virgil Walker on how woke is the Southern Baptist Convention. The chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates. Here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s. And what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't ever forget, folks, that we here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio absolutely depend upon the advertising dollars that come through the support of solid-ground-books.com. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, always remembering to mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's solid-ground-books.com. And also remember, folks, you're not just going to be doing them a favor by purchasing books at solid-ground-books.com, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor, because they publish nothing but the very finest and biblically sound works of not only history from centuries past, and also the finest and contemporary authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to our guest today, Virgil Walker, and our theme, How Woke is the Southern Baptist Convention? I just have a couple more announcements. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, the old-fashioned way, using the United States Postal Service, you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio to the address, the physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Also, you can advertise with us as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what we believe. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. And always remember, folks, I do not want my listeners to siphon money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. Please don't do that. And also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait a while before donating, because we don't want to add to your own financial jeopardy through giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money that you use for recreational purposes and trivial purposes, and you have money collecting interest in the bank, and you are comfortable and are looking for ways to use your money benevolently, then please, if you love this show and don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate frequently and generously if you are indeed able to do so without violating those two commands. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local, biblically faithful, theologically sound, Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church that fits that description. I've helped many people in our audience all over the globe find churches that are biblically sound, sometimes right around the corner from where they live, and they didn't even know these churches existed, or they didn't know that these churches that they pass by every day were biblically sound. So if that fits your description, that you need a biblically sound church, because you don't currently have one, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, and I may be able to help you find a church. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can write a question for Virgil Walker on our discussion, How Woke is the Southern Baptist Convention? That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Always give us your first name, at least, your city and state and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And before I go to any of our listener questions that are mounting up, Virgil, why don't you pick up where we left off? You were talking about how one of the key factors in the history of the downfall of any church or denomination, or even individuals, is when they stop looking at the Bible as their God-breathed blueprint for what to believe and how to function and worship, and they begin to use pragmatism, they begin to use the wisdom of men, and even use the so-called wisdom of Christ's enemies. If you could just pick up where we left off there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the issue of pragmatism, just the practice of, hey, this seems to work, this idea seems to work, and we've pushed the envelope on that to the degree that we are beholden to every wind that kind of blows in the culture. So right now, the wind blowing in the culture is that of social justice. It's the idea of that we've been talking about with regard to critical race theory. It's the idea that appeals to intersectionality, where we've taken what God has said is one human race, broken them down into their segregated groups, kind of reverse engineered things, so to speak, and have made the decision that what we need to do now is to treat people on the basis of the melanin count or the color of their skin, not the content of their character or the idea that they're image bearers of God. That's how you can have in 2019 the SBC appeal to critical race theory in the now infamous Resolution 9. The idea that we can that as we look at the landscape of our denomination, we can use a quote unquote analytical tool like critical race theory. Of course, they provide all the correct language because they know this is a denomination that has fought the issue of inerrancy. So they of course subjugate it to, well, we're going to use the scripture as the primary driver. We're going to use scripture. But if you know anything about the worldview that's behind critical race theory, you know that it really deconstructs everything in its wake. It begins with language. It begins with deconstructing language. And so now racism no longer is an attitude of the heart, followed by an action aimed at a person of a specific ethnicity. Racism is now systemic. And so it now infects every facet of culture. It's in the very air we breathe. Even when we don't know we're being racist, we are benefiting from systemic racism. And it's boogeymen like that, apart from the pages of scripture as defined by the word of God, that create the kind of chaos within denominations and organizations that critical race theory has created. And so that's what we're looking at currently within the SBC.
Now, there was a time not long ago where I didn't really have to do a lot of investigation and background checkup when someone asked me, can you recommend this theologically Calvinistic Southern Baptist congregation that has some affiliation with the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary? Uh-huh. I used to just say, oh, I can recommend them right away, you know, I mean, without really having to look deeply into the background of the church or the pastor. The same goes with the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America. I used to very quickly, without hesitation, say, oh, I'm sure that's a solid church. I can't do that anymore. I have people writing me every day from all over the United States and all over the world, asking me for church recommendations, and it takes a little bit more, or maybe a lot more, homework on my part before I can, with good confidence, recommend churches even that had historically, biblically sound roots. So how did this, as far as you know, start to make its way into a church, a denomination like the SBC, that championed the exposing and refutation of leftist apostasy and open the door to this? Do you know exactly how these things happened incrementally, perhaps?
Yeah, you can trace this back. I mean, I could go as far back as James Cone, and black liberation theology that unfortunately permeated black culture and black churches. And then as the integration began to take place, there was great benefit in white churches who had now had an influx of members of different ethnicities. They began to appeal to the idea of suffering, this idea, the theology of suffering. And so, you know, and now when you begin to listen to pastors preach about Egypt and Pharaoh, the black man or the oppressed were now Egypt and Pharaoh, and or now slaves under Egypt and Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, because of the fact that we began to allegorize texts of scripture rather than rightly divide them based upon the exposition and expositional preaching, we just began to see this looseness about our preaching. Now, rather than really getting expositional preaching, what people began to develop were diets of 5 points that can help you become successful, 3 points that can do, you know, have you make sure that you have a better marriage, So the gospel is removed. Pragmatism is employed. The idea of suffering is all a part of it. And again, I could trace back the people, the leaders, the ideas throughout history. But again, needless to say, this is something that's permeated our culture now for the last 40 years. It's been on a march since the 60s, and really, really 60 years now. We're in 2020. We began to see an explosion take place, though, around 2017 and 18. And again, with men like Dr. Josh Bice, with men like John MacArthur, who came together with a group of men and began to write down a statement on social justice and the gospel. And as they wrote down that statement, it became incredibly clear who stood with them on a biblical sufficiency and who stood against them on these issues. And so that was the kind of the line of demarcation, as you kind of phrase it, with regard to who stood where with regard to this particular issue.
Now, back in the early 2000s, my show was launched in New York out of WNYG Radio originally in Babylon, Long Island, WNYG and WGBB Radio. Early on in my years of hosting Iron Trip and Zion Radio, I loved interviewing, I think, all of the participants. I'm almost certain all of the co-authors of Glory Road, The Journeys of 10 African Americans into Reformed Christianity, and many, if not all, of those men attributed R.C. Sproul as a primary vehicle that God used in his sovereignty and providence to draw them into the Reformed faith, this old white guy. I'm not going to claim that all of these men, and in fact it may be just a couple that were involved in writing that book, seem to have joined this bandwagon of wokeism. And it shocks me, because when I had these men on the show, they were saying things that were the polar opposite of what the woke movement stands for today.
Right.
Do you know what has enticed some of the great thinkers that were championing Christian orthodoxy as little as 9 years ago, who have been the movers and shakers, who have become the movers and shakers of this movement? And it just shocks me. I'm speechless about it. I just don't even know what to say or think.
Yeah, it's not only shocking, it's actually heartbreaking. It's actually heartbreaking to witness what you believe to be a really clear gospel resurgence, right? A clear theological resurgence from a standpoint of biblical truth, Reformed theology, an understanding of sin, the nature of sin, the message of the gospel. That all of what's entailed there has nothing to do with the level of melanin in my skin. So to see them capitulate to the point where now they're embracing that idea, I could not tell you with any you know, pinpoint accuracy what was the transformation. Except now, Scripture does tell us that they went out from us because they were not of us. Now I know that in even stating that, making that statement, there'll be some who'll bristle and there'll be some who'll be concerned. Am I saying these folks aren't saved? I don't have a crystal ball to look into the heart of these individuals. But I will say this: if you've abandoned the core doctrines and core tenets of the faith, I think there comes a point at which we have to begin asking questions with regard to what were you saved unto? Was this just an opportunity for you that you saw, as a lot of these men were platformed early on as they began to become aware of you know, Reformed teaching? Or were they really drawn in by what God had done in the hearts of each one of these men? Only God knows, only they know. But I can tell you what right now with regards to their actions, they really tell a very different picture. It seems to me that they've bought on to Reformed theology, they've bought on to the ideas of R.C. Sproul and men like that, for the purpose of how it benefited them for a period of time. And now that they don't see that as beneficial, and what now becomes the beneficial movement, is this woke ideology. They've leapt onto that train as it's moved. I mean, you met 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, early 2000s, there were articles being written about reform theology and the fact that the young, restless, and reformed were on the move. And so here you had a movement that was happening. And again, I can't speak to the motivation of these men, but you did have a movement that was happening with this resurgence of biblical truth under the banner of reformed theology. And so that was a movement then, and there was great benefit in jumping on that train for some. And perhaps this is now the new train that they believe that they can extract benefit from. And so they're on that train, watching it roll down the track to their benefit.
And I have to reiterate that I don't know that this slide into leftism is something that even the majority of the authors of Glory Road are participating in. I want to make it clear. It might even be a minority of the authors. I don't know. All I can say is that I was very disappointed that a publisher, a very respected and theologically trustworthy publisher, sent me a book by a fairly well-known black Christian author who he's fairly well known, especially in reform circles. And they wanted me to interview the author on this book. And it's interesting that right after I began heavily publicizing Vody Baucom's conference here in Pennsylvania that I attended, that I mentioned earlier, I was contacted by the publisher saying that the author had canceled the interview, not postponed it, not changed the date, canceled it without explanation, and the publisher could not tell me why. I can't help but think it had something to do with my very aggressive and enthusiastic and joyful promotion of Vody Baucom and his conference on critical race theory. The timing was too bizarre. In fact, it was the day after the conference that they canceled the interview. But
not surprising, it's very sad, though.
Yes, it is. Well, we have a couple of, in fact, more than a couple of listener questions. First, we have, I think he may be a first-time questioner, Andrew in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Virgil. How close do you think the Southern Baptist Convention is to a breakup?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't have my finger on the pulse of all of the movers and shakers within the SBC. I do know that over the course of this last 2 years since the last convention, folks have been made very aware of critical race theory. Groups like the Founders Ministries, definitely the folks at G3 who were responsible for co-authoring the statement on social justice and the gospel. There's been a lot of noise made in SBC circles about the nature of critical race theory, and there are a lot of folks who are rather unhappy and who are ready to have a conversation about how to move forward. I've not heard them all say with any direction, hey, we're all leaving. I think for the most part, they love and care about the Southern Baptist Convention, and they don't want to see such a large body that is stood for such a long period of time on biblical inerrancy capitulate on the issue of sufficiency.
Yes, and I want to give a shout out to my dear friend Dr. Tom Askell, who is the president of Founders Ministries, who is very opposed to critical race theory and very saddened about its very strong influence in the Southern Baptist Convention. And I have interviewed Dr. Askell many times, would love to interview him many more times in the future, and have enjoyed hearing him speak at various conferences. And Jared Longshore, his fellow elder there at Grace Baptist Church of Cape Coral, Florida. So I want to make it clear that this is not something that you have to have suspicion with every single Southern Baptist leader or figure. There is a significant segment of the SBC that is very opposed to what's going on.
Absolutely, we would be remiss not to mention the Conservative Baptist Network, led by Dr. Brad Jerkovich. There's a number of pastors who expressed tremendous concern about these issues, and I believe are standing rightly on biblical sufficiency, and they're willing to say no to man-made philosophies like critical race theory that are antithetical to a biblical worldview and to Christianity.
By the way, Andrew, if you are indeed a first-time questioner, please email me your full mailing address in Brooklyn, New York, so I can have cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, ship you out a brand-new New American Standard Bible, which is what we do here whenever a first-time questioner sends in a question. They get a new Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We have a very loyal and faithful and generous supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Grady from Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers Chris and Virgil. Recently, several leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention came out and made a statement against critical race theory. Do you know if this has made an impact within the Southern Baptist Convention? Also, how much longer before the book you and Darrell are writing will be released?
Well, those are great questions. Thanks for the question. You had six seminary presidents who came out and spoke against CRT, and basically their statement was one of validating the Baptist faith and message 2000. And in the statement, they had said that critical race theory is not in line, is outside the bounds of that which comports to the Baptist faith and message. So they wanted to make the statement clear and say that, you know, this CRT is not in line with the Baptist faith and message. It's outside of that line. That created a great bit of anxiety and angst. There were a number of African-American pastors who gathered together and wrote a letter. There were two pastors who said that they were out of the SBC. They were leaving as a result of this letter. Since that time, those presidents of the seminaries and black leaders have gotten together, and Ronnie Floyd brought them together early part of January. They have since written a statement affirming that dialogue needed to take place before such a statement went out by the presidents. But what's happened since then are a number of those seminary presidents have jumped onto their local podcasts, podcasts associated with the seminary and the like, and absolutely capitulated, reversed what they said in this statement about critical race theory.
Wow.
There's a lot of ebb and flow to what's happening, and there's, you know, I believe more of what people do and less of what people say anymore. It's really sad to witness.
And your book, Grady asked about.
The book, yes. We are working on, Darrell and I are working on a trilogy of books through Founders Press right now, and the first of those being Just Thinking About the State. We thought with this inaugural season, with this brand new presidency and the like, that it would be important to get in the hands of listeners and those who are fans of Just Thinking and those who want to understand what we're going to be enduring for the next 4 years with regard to the state, with regard to socialism, the social justice march forward. And so what we cover all of that ground in our first book, our anticipated date, sometime in July, we anticipate that being out. And then thereafter, we'll see what the other ones. One was, Just Thinking About the Church, and then Just Thinking About Ethnicity.
Great. Well, I didn't even know of the connection with Founders Ministries, that they were publishing it. That's great. More proof that we are fully supportive of a number of faithful Southern Baptists.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thanks, Grady. And we have an anonymous listener who said, I am quite concerned that the congregation where I am a member is seriously considering joining the Southern Baptist Convention. Might I ask, is this phenomenon of wokeism predominantly existing amongst Arminian Southern Baptists, or is this equally present amongst those that are Arminian and Reformed?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is that this crosses the boundary. I think there are those who are so concerned about ethnicity and who have lifted it to an idolatrous height, that have made the decision that, you know, that they're going to embrace these ideas, and they're encouraging their congregations to read books by Ibram Kendi, or Robin DiAngelo about white fragility, or about anti-racism. So now, rather than being told that you're going to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're being encouraged to study Kendi, DiAngelo, Tisby. And so those are that's the difference that you're now seeing. And this crosses color lines. This crosses soteriology and ideas around that. No one's immune.
Yeah, you're speaking of Jamar Tisby, correct?
Yes.
No, the personal assistant of Ligon Duncan.
Absolutely.
Which is utterly amazing, since Ligon has always been a go-to guy for sound theology, a close friend of John MacArthur, speaker at even, I believe, G3 conferences in the past. I just don't even understand it. I've had Ligon on this program, and Ligon has written a glowing endorsement of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm just dumbfounded by this, which actually reminds me of another prohibition in the scriptures that those in the woke movement seem to have utterly ignored and defied, is thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That seems to be a huge sin that they champion, by virtue of the fact that they call out people publicly by name and declare that they're racists, when clearly the evidence shows that there's no truth in that condemnation or slander.
Yeah. That kind of behavior is absolutely abysmal. I mean, it is on so many different levels. They often use ideas of correlation as causation. And so, for example, in the instance of the shooter that was in Atlanta, in Georgia, that the shooting that took place there, he had shot a number of shops, I guess massage parlors. There happened to be Asians who were working there. What the woke crowd that are part of tearing down the SBC and others do with that is they look at that information, they go and find this idea that this young man had attended an SBC church that they believe was one of the churches that our brothers from, we mentioned founders, that our brothers from the founders had said, hey, this is a solid church. Now, the young man attended the church. We know for a brief period of time, the church never advocated the idea of murder, had never advocated any kind of sex work in any way, shape, or form. But they take that correlation, the idea that the young man had been there and been connected, and say, see, there's causation. It must be because founders hold to the idea, the men at founders hold to the idea of complementarianism. They said they therefore subjugate women. And so this is what breeds from that. So they take correlation as causation, and they amplify it by adding racism to it. While there's no evidence whatsoever that racism was involved in the shooting, they've added racism to it and then begin to slanderously accuse good men, men of God who love God and are walking uprightly, of doing something that is absolutely heinous that everyone would repudiate. But this is their tactic, and it's jaw-dropping to witness. It's mind-numbing to watch them walk this out. But that's the behavior that we're seeing coming from the woke crowd.
Yeah, we have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who says, I happen to be in attendance at the same conference where Vody Baucom spoke in Pennsylvania not long ago. During his lectures, Vody said that he had been accused by fellow black Christians who are in favor of the woke movement of not being a black person who truly understands the black experience in spite of his own color. Vody comically responded to those charges, "Well, I was born and raised in South Central L.A. to a single mother who is a Buddhist. Is that good enough for you?" And I was wondering if you and Daryl have heard similar charges, and how do you respond to those kinds of accusations and arguments?
Yeah, Daryl, for the most part, has a three word response to those kinds of things, and the three word response that he gives is, "I don't care." I think that's as quick and clear as a response as we can give. And truth be told, neither of us have cared. You can't. Well, all that we care about is articulating truth. If you could show me where I've gotten something wrong on the basis of Scripture, man, I will absolutely bow the knee, repent, and turn. But if you're going to tell me that if you're going to engage in an ad hominem attack simply based upon the fact that you can't address the argument, you know, "I'm not black enough, I'm not woke enough, I don't understand, I have a colonized mind," and then all the pejoratives that come from that, I'm an Aunt Jemima, I'm a coon, I'm this, I'm that. I mean, all of the name calling from these folks who are supposedly advocating for racial equality, racial equity, but they engage in some of the most heinous behavior. I could tell you about pastors who, if I named them, you would know who they are, who've called me everything from a slave to an Uncle Tom to an Uncle Ruckus. For those who don't know who Uncle Ruckus was, don't bother looking him up. He's a despicable man, a cartoon character, who takes great joy in harpooning blacks. And so I've been called all of those names, and primarily by those who seemingly are supposed to be advocating for racial, quote unquote, racial equity, racial equality. But that's the nature of their tactic, and it's sad.
Yeah, truth is truth. Jesus Christ did not need to experience transgendered feelings to be able to speak clearly in his word about what is acceptable and what is damnable behavior. And we could go on with the Apostle Paul and everybody else who was an author of the God-breathed scriptures. So that is a moot point, as you said. Well, we have to go to our final break right now. If anybody wants to join us on the air, there are still a couple of people waiting to have their questions asked and answered. If you want to join them and get in line, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. I will be right back after these messages.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with the family.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our guest today for the entire program has been Virgil Walker. We have been discussing how woke is the Southern Baptist Convention. We have Mike from Monroe, New York, who has a comment slash question. I say that the primary reason for the Christian compromise is, number one, cowardice, number two, fear of negative press, number three, fear of a loss of money, particularly when it comes to academia, four, and a false sense of winning the culture and youth in particular. What does my dear brother think about my observation? This is about intimidation from the left and woke crowd. Blessings in Christ from Mike in Monroe, New York. Got a response to that, Virgil?
No, I think Mike has nailed it. I'll treat it to the inverse and just simply say that while there is a fear of culture, a fear of the woke mob, a fear of all these things, what's really at the root of it, is the pride of self. It's actually the pride of self. They think they know better than God's word declares. And I can't say it more succinctly than that. Ultimately, at the end of the day, these men who've decided that analytical tools are a resource for them, believe that they know better than God. I mean, what did we do about issues of ethnic hatred and division prior to CRT? Right? Did Jesus just not have it all together? Was the message incomplete? Were the disciples just, you know, not really clear about what to do until the late 1800s and early 1900s when critical theory and critical race theory began to show up? Now we can sufficiently address ethnic hatred between one another? I mean, who do these people think they are? This is about pride. This is an issue of pride. They believe they know better. These are the academicians. These are the folks who believe they've studied things in such a way that the average individual in the pews, you just can't simply understand. So that's why you're seeing some of the leadership within the SBC are the ones advocating and promoting these kinds of ideas.
Now, how dangerous is cancel culture? It's kind of amusing, actually, that those who have been promoting cancel culture in the major media outlets like CNN and MSNBC and other places, now they're even saying that this is too close for comfort. And hey, this is getting out of hand, this cancel culture stuff. Why is it especially dangerous when Christians are being told to throw out heroes of the faith because of their imperfections? Great men of God who had their flaws and sins, who owned slaves and so on, maybe even defended the institution of slavery. How do we react to this and say, well, just because they have believed and done some very horrible things, and not all of them believed and acted as they are being accused, by the way. But
right.
Why is this dangerous? And I actually draw a parallel between the way that vehement anti-Calvinists are baffled by Reformed Baptists upholding John Calvin as a hero, when John Calvin clearly was no fan of those that insisted on the rebaptism of those who are already baptized as infants. He despised that, and one of the reasons that Michael Servetus was executed was that not only did he deny the Trinity, but he also was very opposed to infant baptism. But anyway, why is this so dangerous?
Well, it's dangerous for a number of reasons. One is it's a lack of an understanding of the gospel. It's a lack of understanding of the gospel and the gospel's role in our own lives. You know, we often hear quoted Matthew chapter 7, judge not lest ye be judged, right? And what that is not is that's not a refrain to say that judgment can't be made, but simply hypocritical judgment should not take place. We still have a responsibility to judge ourselves, to examine our own lives, to see what kind of sinfulness is on the inside of us. What cancel culture does is it provides this pharisaical lens by which to ignore my own sin and for me to look at others as most sinful. And so as a result, then I'm able to, from the perch of my own self-righteousness, decide who should and should not be canceled on the basis of my own personal preference. So that's what's actually happening. And that's absolutely antithetical to what Scripture says, to what the Bible says, to how we're to respond as the beneficiaries of God's grace. We've diminished the wrath of God which abides on each and every one of us. And by exchange, we've decided that somehow our works of righteousness allow us to look down our nose at a previous generation and their understanding or lack thereof of a certain issue. So that's why it's problematic. That's why we shouldn't engage in it. I don't think we blindly, adore some of these men of old. I think we honestly look at their sinfulness, at the reality of their lives. Scripture provides that for men like David and Solomon, and the list goes on and on. And so I think we honestly assess the sinfulness of their lives while at the same time understanding that God used sinful men in those spaces and places, and I think rightly discerned, rightly divided, rightly with clarity, we can put them in their right place, a place of honor for what they did right, and a place where we examine what they did wrongly, honestly admit that, call it for the sin that it is, and keep moving forward. But the idea that we can erase these men from history and no longer mention their names because someone's now offended by something that they said or did is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to make sure that our listeners hear the websites once again that they will need to have in order to visit and attend the G3 conference. That's g3min.org, G3, and that's the numeral 3, min.org. And don't forget about the Just Thinking podcast that Daryl and my guest Virgil host together. That website is justthinking.me, M as in Michael E, justthinking.me. Thank you so much, Virgil, for being my guest today.
Thanks for having me.
I look forward to your return frequently in the future.
Thank you, brother. God bless.
And I want everybody to remember that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.